This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Folks, we're back. We're doing it again. It's Tuesday. I don't know what day it is. I know it's a Tuesday. I don't know what the date is. But it's one of those days that ends with a number, or starts with a number and ends with a number. And we are here with another episode of That Other Sports Show. Folks, I just want to say real quick before I do a little introduction stuff, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, old and the new, and there have been new listeners, and I appreciate you, and I hope that all of you individually, whether it's through Spotify, which has been blowing up, I'm serious, Spotify has been killing it for us. I thought Apple was like our thing, and it was for the longest time. People weren't even paying attention to the Anchor app. They were just going straight to Apple. But right now, Spotify is killing it for us. So
Jeff, let me ask you this. Do you think it's because of the app change with whatever we used previously?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Okay.
So with Spotify,
it's cause and effect, if you will.
Anchor FM, the former, was purchased by Spotify to add more podcasts onto their already ginormous podcast library. And so since that's happened, I feel like we have this like reverberation of like people who are just kind of filtering through certain subjects and topics. And they're like, oh, sports. And then we happen to pop up and then they take a listen. And whether they listen for 30 seconds or 30 minutes, they still listen. Yes. So I think it's been a huge thing for us. So again, whether you listen for that 30 seconds or you listen for 30 minutes, folks, I appreciate you all. And Apple guys and gals, thank you as well. Huge, huge uptick in numbers from Mexico.
Ooh.
So,
shout out mi gente.
Yes. Yes.
They see Valdez and they're like, we're in. It's got to be a brother.
They're like, I got you.
You already know it.
I just wanted to do a couple things like that. Just say, hey, you know what? Whoever's listening from wherever you're at, thank you very much. You are now listening to myself, Mr. Jesse Thomas, and my man on the other end, Mr. Jason Valdez. That's right, Valdez.
We always, once every four or five shows, make it a point to talk about mental health and men's mental health. Shout out Josh Thrash Metal. We love you, brother. We're glad to see you're back on the up and up and you're tweeting again and again. Anybody, male or female, if you need someone to talk to, just reach out to a friend, whoever you got. You get, whether your circle is small, whether you think you have no circle, you got somebody. You always got someone that cares about you. Don't hesitate to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm having a bad day. Hey, I'm having a bad week. I'm having a bad whatever. It's okay.
Most definitely. And even with the Josh stuff, hey, Joshy, man, we love you. We're glad that you're coming around and feeling more like yourself. So, again, shout out to you, bro. With him, I just noticed, like, even through a platform like Twitter, where people were just
showing a lot of love, shouting him out.
They just showing love and just throwing out love to him. And people that I don't even know if they knew who he was, it was just through, you know, multiple other people's tweeting and retweeting things and then people catching on. This is where I'm at right now. I'm going to get a little emotional on you guys right now. So living in today's society, it can be pretty difficult. There's a lot of negative things out there. But what I see happen in situations like this is probably hundreds to thousands of people who don't even know this young man. And they all jumped onto his Twitter just to say, hey, brother, we got you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're pulling for you to come through this. Yep. That to me is absolutely amazing. Just to see the brotherhood. That is the America that I want to live in. That is the world I want to live in, where we all come together and we stick up for each other and we protect each other. And Jesse, I just want to say thank you to all those people who gave him some love.
There's a unique spot in the internet for MMA Twitter. And just like any sports Twitter, it can be a cesspool. It can get dirty. It can get filthy. It can get raunchy. And there's a lot of stuff. A lot of times you look the other way. You go, and depending on who you are, what kind of cat you are. I know yourself, myself. A lot of times we probably look the other way, right?
Yeah.
But this community, every once in a while, shows its class, shows its love, shows its appreciation for people when they're in a spot that is rough to be in. And so, like you said, shout out to those people that gave a shit and reached out and did what they thought was necessary, whether it was a tweet, a DM, a personal text, or going all the way up to reaching out to authorities and going, we're worried about this guy. There's enough people worried about this guy to where we got to do something. And here we are. So
yeah,
we'll wrap it up. We'll put a tight bow on it here. We'll keep it with the combat sports, Jess. We'll keep it with the shout outs. Shout out once again, VSN. Jess, you know, we got love for VSN. We got to shout him out. I feel like I'm missing out and I'm afraid to pull up the Twitter, but I believe that the handle is Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. Shout out those cats because they show me a lot of love. They show the show a lot of love. They're big basketball people. We're big basketball people. And sometime maybe we get that VSN stew going where we, you know, we do that collaboration, which we have not done in a very long time.
No, we haven't.
Any partners, Jesse? Where we just say, hey, how y'all doing over there? It's how we're doing over here. And we go from there. Shout out them. Shout out Variety Sports, of course, VSN. Those are our people.
Yes.
Jess, I don't know if there's anyone you want to shout out or if we save it to the end. Should we talk some fights? There's two fights we really want to talk about this weekend. I did not watch Holloway versus the kid whose name escapes me, Arnold Allen. I got a lot of love for that kid, and I think he's got a ton of upside. But I did not watch that fight. I got it on the ESPN on demand. I just haven't got to it. It was a bad weekend. At some point, I will get to it. Probably will never talk about it on this show, or if I do, it'll be just for reference.
It'll be through like post text.
Listen, we're all about transparency here, guys. So I don't want to talk about a fight I didn't see. Jesse, did you see the fight?
I did actually see the fight. It was a good fight.
Any thoughts on it?
You know, it's kind of like we've seen in the past few fights, you know, with Rosas Jr. and a couple others of these young cats that like kind of get stunted all of a sudden, right? Arnold Allen's been on a tear. He's been killing people. He's been a monster. He's been posterizing guys in the cage. Against Max Holloway, I feel like he was just across the cage from this former featherweight champion, like a legend. Like let's be real, Max Holloway is a legend in the cage. Like he has had such a prolific career. He's held titles. He's beaten the best of the best of the best, and only the better than that can beat him. And so when you're this young up-and-coming kid, like he's standing across the cage from Max Blessed Holloway, I just feel like he kind of like shriveled under the spotlight. It took him like three rounds before he could really start letting off some traffic. And before that, though, Holloway was already just steamrolling.
So was it a scenario where Holloway was leading the dance on the fight? So
oh, yeah, 100%. Max did his Max thing where he just came out there, volume punched his way through Arnold's head. I mean, he took shots still. Arnold still put up a fight. He was a great challenge. If you watch the fight, what you will see is that Arnold Allen is definitely a future star in this sport. Like, he held his ground against one of the best mixed martial artists in the world.
I believe that, Jess, with regards to this is different than the Rosas thing, where Rosas is just so young.
Yeah.
And really, really just the definition of green, if you will. But I think Allen's been a little bit more battle-tested. Now, to piggyback off of what you're saying, is he ready for the main event status? That's a whole nother story. Sometimes you really need 10, 12 fights in the UFC before you get there. But they're looking for stars. They're looking for an equal fight where Holloway wins. Doesn't necessarily raise his stock a ton, but it leaves a lot of unopened questions, right? Can he still run with the elite? Can he still run with the young dogs? Well, the answer there was yes. Can he still fuck with the top three to top five? But also, if Allen wins, it pushes him to that next level, right? Where we go, hey, this guy is going to be there for, you know, I guess you would say that, you know, is he ready for a top five, a top seven, a top 10 guy? So interesting stuff. Right?
The best thing about this fight was I think that it proved that Max still has some gas left in the tank. I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to make a run, but he's definitely a lot closer to a run now than he was like two fights ago. And as far as Arnold Allen is concerned, he's also still in the mix for a run. He didn't lose to some jobber. He lost to Max Holloway.
He didn't get knocked out. He won some rounds from what I've read, from what I've heard. And I heard he really bit down on the gum shield, if you will, in the fifth round and really showed that he still got a lot of pop going late into championship rounds. Now, does his stock drop a ton by losing to Max Holloway going five hard rounds? Probably not. Does he go up? Probably not. Probably stay stagnant.
Exactly.
Right?
I agree.
Not a win, not a loss. Just truly stay stagnant with that loss. Let's go from talking about one fight that I did not see to talking about another fight that I probably will not see and will have to watch on replay the next day, barring really good NBA games. Jess and I have reviewed this card. We have determined that it is mid, so we're going to go right to the main event. I do want to say this. I peeked at the card, and I thought, well, it's not the best, but there were some names in there that gravitated to me, if you will. But we want to keep it moving. We want to keep a tight show today. So main event, heavyweights, two big meaty men slapping meat. We got Curtis Blaydes. We got the Pavs. Jess, we talked a lot about the Pavs.
Yes.
Looking at potential bones, guys. He was a guy we circled with a unique color with our different colored markers and went, you know, we don't want to necessarily put him in the red. We don't necessarily want to put him in a green. Let's put him in like a yellow or a black or something like that because we want to see what this guy's got. I think this is a great opportunity fight for him to both get his name back out with a big win, as well as cement himself with that, hey, I should be in this top 2, 3, 5 mix. Jess, give me some thoughts on this fight and also who you got.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, we've touched on the Pavs quite a bit and his kind of – he's had a quick little uprising in the heavyweight division. He's done well for himself. He's pulled off some pretty impressive wins. And this is going to be, to me, it's probably the toughest test because Curtis Blaydes is no joke. Curtis Blaydes has been coming in lean, mean, and fighting machine lately. And he's got hands. He's got some good sneaky kicks. He's going to try to wrestle and grapple, basically Pavs to the ground as much as possible. So it's going to come down to, can the old dog teach the new dog some tricks, or can the new dog just take advantage and climb to the top of the mountain quicker? I'm going to go with Pavs. I think that his striking is above average striking, especially in the heavyweight division. I think that he will get taken down, but he's a pretty strong and he's a strong guy and his cardio is not bad. So unless he gets taken down 15 times during the heavyweight fight, if he gets taken down once or twice, but if he can avoid most takedowns, I think that he will definitely win this fight by points. I don't see him knocking Curtis out. Curtis is a tough-ass dude. He ain't going down like that. Curtis will probably get baited into a little bit of a boxing match because I think that somewhere along the lines, his takedown percentage is going to go down, and he's going to try to stand and bang, and that's where it's going to go wrong. Pavs is definitely the better striker in this fight. I'm going Pavlich, unanimous decision.
I think Pavlich knocks him out.
Woo.
I think it's going to be I think it's going to be somewhere in the second or third round. I think there's going to be a good feel out round. And I think somewhere in that second or third round, and I don't want to say Blaydes is chinny per se. I've just seen him knocked out a lot of times. And in the heavyweight division, all it really does take is that one good strike to catch you. And I'm torn with Blaydes because I truly think he's that C-tier, third-tier heavyweight, and I have a difficult time going, all right, well, he's better than Pavlovich here, he's better than Pavlovich here. I feel like they're either even or Pavlovich is better, slightly better in certain areas. And I think that Pavlovich is going to be able to keep it standing. He's going to be able to strike, throw kicks, confuse Blaydes. And I don't want to say he's going to knock him out with an uppercut the same way that, God, I was going to say the big black beast did. But I think he does put some type of combination together that ends up finishing Blades, and I think he knocks him out in the second round.
Where's our producer when I need – I'm calling for a button.
I know.
Hit the button.
Wait, it was such a good time. Can you go back and edit that, put the button in now?
I should try. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to put a buzzer right there, like beep, something.
Find the huge take that. Or was it? Wasn't that what Chris W. Powers implemented?
Yes.
And it was like a bomb.
Shout out to Chris, by the way. God, I love that guy. We need to get him back on the show too. It's been longer than a minute. I know he's been
put him on the list with everybody else.
He's living life. He's making money.
Shout out to everybody.
God, I love you. All right. Yeah, that's huge.
He's a busy guy. All right. Yeah. So, hey, listen, go back and find. We got to ask him if he's got it in that sound bed of his. He's got all types of technical stuff over there. Maybe he's got a laying around somewhere in that sound bed. There's some good boxing this weekend, Jess. And this is the reason I probably won't watch the Blades fight, because I'll be watching the undercard of this random ass boxing card that will at some point have these two men in the ring. I'm hoping closer to 8 than 9, because my ass is old and I can't be trying to watch basketball games at 9 all week, fights at 9 all week. Like, I'm sorry, I'm old. I got to be in bed at some point. I got to. This is one of those fights, Jess. When it was announced, I said, I am not going to believe this fight's going to happen until I see both of these dudes in the ring. And I feel like now we're this close, it hasn't, nothing's been yanked yet. I feel like we're there. So I'm more confident making a pick on this fight, Jess. And it's Tank, it's Garcia. It's probably the best in that division at that weight class. And these two guys are pretty much still in their prime, Jess. You got any scratches, surface thoughts? Any takes? Who you got?
It's Ryan Garcia, correct?
That's correct.
Ryan, younger guy, up and coming guy, kind of. He's been in some big fights. I can't go against Javonte Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a dog, man. Like, you hear that word get thrown around in sports a lot lately. You know, it's kind of been like the trending word, you know, dog. Mm-hmm. But he's just such a dog. Like, you can't. He doesn't – to me, when I watch him fight, you probably have a completely different take. I don't see him do anything better than anybody around him. He's just so ferocious.
Yeah, he just hits harder than everybody.
He just simply hits harder than everybody. He's so mean and aggressive. Like, I don't want to, like, say that he's, like, one of these top, you know, Mayweather, you know, Canelo kind of guys. But he's just so mean and aggressive, and that's how he beats you. He beats you with his aggression. He just is a constant tank, hence the nickname, coming at you, coming forward, throwing big bombs. And just like, I mean, he's got some defense. I've seen clips. I've seen stuff, you know, and his defense is not impressive, you know, but like, it's like he don't need it, because how can you play defense when you're constantly on offense? And that's kind of his role. So I think that Davis goes in there. I think it's probably like stopped in like the sixth, seventh round. That's my prediction. I think Davis stops him in the sixth or seventh. Ryan Garcia is a good dude. I think he's an incredibly hardworking guy. I think that he's the more technical of the fighters, but Davis's aggression and just forward progress is going to eventually catch up. And and Ryan Garcia is just not going to be able to handle that later in those mid to late rounds.
I can't believe we got 20 minutes in the bank and we've already got two huge takes with the bomb dropping. Man, this is I love this fight. Classic bull versus matador fight. Garcia can win. The only way he is going to win is just by being able to be incredibly slick. And I'm talking Pernell Whitaker level slick.
Yeah.
And he's got to do a lot of 2, 3, 4, pop, 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 and I'm out. He cannot try and really sit and throw a lot of heavy, heavy shots. He cannot exchange gunfire with Davis. He just cannot. He's got to really, truly be an elite-level boxer with just a pop, 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 and I'm out. Pop, 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 and I'm out. Pop, pop, and I'm out. If he's doing that, he's going to win 8-10 rounds. He can truly outbox it, I would say, like the Olympic level type of boxing, truly a point a point type of fight, a point fighting type of boxing. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I think he's going to take the bait. I think that, much like you said, Tank just hits hard. He just hits harder than everyone else in the division. He's got a little bit of that Marvin Hagler in him, not necessarily the southpaw, but just, I'm okay with sitting in a gunfight with you. I'm okay with getting an exchange, because I know if I get enough exchanges with you, I am going to win these. I'm going to be the better man. I'm going to physically hurt you, and that's going to change the fight. I think he probably drops Garcia at some point in this fight, just because Garcia is going to take the bait. He just is. If he doesn't, he's a true marksman, and credit to him for talking all that shit, Mayweather level shit talking. Where yesterday he was on Instagram or some shit saying he was gonna put his whole purse up, doing that fucking thing. But I think the way he wins is he's got to just box, just be the better boxer, which he might truly be a tick level above when it comes to just the old style of just boxing. But again, I think that the power sometimes is the equalizer there, right? We've seen that with Deontay Wilder the past few years, where you go, well, he's clearly not a great boxer, but he just has that equalizing power. And Davis can lose rounds. Davis can afford to lose 2, 3, 4 rounds if he's getting those exchanges. In his mind, if he's downloading the data, if you will, and going, all right, I'm picking up on your mistakes, and you make that mistake again later in this fight, I'm going to fucking knock you out. I don't think he knocks him out. I think we're going to get something like a 7-5 Davis card, or like maybe a 6-6 card, but because there's knockdowns, that's going to be the difference. I do like Tank. I do think Tank wins a majority decision.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, I never grew up like a huge boxing guy, but I mean, there were obviously, you know, big boxers, you know, through the, you know, the 80s, 90s, 2000s that I got to be privy to watch and know. And I just honestly, I can't put Davis in with any of them. Like, he's not like,
yeah,
Tyson was aggressive like that, but very technical. And yeah, his defense was amazing. Like, and you know what I mean? And so I can't like compare him to a Mike Tyson. I can't compare him to like a Foreman, like, except for maybe the power at his size, yeah, and his weight class, maybe. Yeah. But Davis, to me, is like a standalone guy. And again, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I can't, like, I don't want to sit there and say he's like some like top 10 of all time or nothing. But like, he just, as of right now in this current time and his weight class, you said it the best. He just hits harder than everybody else. And when you have that, that's like some Chuck Liddell shit. Like, Chuck Liddell really was not anything special, except for the fact that he could unload these bombs and take people out with one shot every single time. Yep. And that's kind of where Gervonta Davis lands.
The old Chuck Liddell, the sprawl and brawl with the stand-up. That's how he beat everybody in 2002 and 2003 and 2004. All right. Do you have the NBA playoffs up, Jess? We're going to try and rifle through these really quick. I put my picks up on Twitter, of course, but we're doing the podcast. And if you're not following us on Twitter yet, let me just pick up on these really quick, give you some quick insights. Jess, you'll jump in here with some quick insights, and we'll keep it moving.
So the first, I guess you want to hit the Eastern Conference, I guess.
Yeah, bad to good. Bad to good.
So, Eastern Conference, I have Hawks, Celtics, Knicks, Cavs.
Yeah, let's start Hawks,
Bucks. So, let's start Hawks, Celtics. That seems like probably bottom of the barrel right now.
When we did the show last week, do you remember how excited I was about the Hawks and that Hawks game, and how
good it was, good
Capella looked, and how good the Spurs looked, and how good. They didn't do that against Boston. They haven't been able to figure that one out. That one has a game. Boston just showed up playoff ready and absolutely fucking rolled, and Atlanta had no answer. And I don't want to say young team versus old savvy vet team, because Atlanta core was in the playoffs like the year before last. Yeah. They just got rolled. I said Boston in five. I said Boston in six. I'm not coming off of that, especially after that first game. I had some hope for the Hawks, and maybe I will still show some optimism, but right now, Celtics in five. Gentlemen, sweep.
I'm sticking with that. I think that Boston is just too talented on multifaceted ends of the court. they've got too many stars. The talent is all over the place. I mean, even if you go down their bench, like there's two or three guys deep at least that can come off the bench and either play defense or rebound or score. So, and the Hawks were as young and as talented as they are. And you mentioned this like maybe a while back, we did it like a really short NBA show or like threw some NBA stuff in. You said that as long as the Hawks don't blow this team up, they've got a potential for being, you know, top, you know, three seed in the Eastern Conference for a long time, and they do. But as of right now, they're taking on a very playoff savvy team. Jason Tatum is still one of the best players in the league, if not top three, top five at least. And then you add in all the other guys, you know, the Marcus Smarts and the Jalens and all the, I mean, they're just stacked. This team is so ready for the playoffs. I agree with you, gentlemen.
Let's keep it moving. What's that? What was you? So Cavs,
Knicks, Cavaliers. Now the Knicks lead the series 1-0.
They play tonight.
They do play tonight. Yes.
This game got me horned, Jess. This game got me hashtag horned. The Cavs are so good. It's so young, and Donovan Mitchell. I talked about it last week. Pulling your dick out, pulling your balls out. At some point, you got to fucking man up in these games. When there's 2 or 3 minutes left in the game and only a handful of possessions left, you got to go full alpha. You got to go, you know what? I'm that guy. And my man did that in spades. Oof. The other night. There was a point where Mitchell went heat check, and I think he scored like 8 points straight or something like that. It was like a three, went to the basket. And then followed it. They called timeout. And then maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, the exact same thing happens. He has a fucking three. He hits another three. He dunks on somebody. It was unbelievable. But to his credit, and his name's escaping me right now. Goddamn it. I wish it wasn't. Who's the kid on the Knicks again? The kid they just signed, the point guard. The kid from the Mavs.
Brunson?
Yep.
Jalen Brunson
equally pulled his dick out and said, yes. You know what? Watch this. You know what? That's cool. That's cute what you're doing. Watch this. Everybody get out of the way. Barrett, please get the fuck out of the way. And I'm going to go ape shit. The guy was shooting fucking threes. Now, if you watched that Mavs team last year, you knew he was about it. And yeah,
very true.
So weird. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this. I'm going to try and keep it moving. It's so weird when you look at that end of the season interview with Mark Cuban, where he was kind of shitting on Brunson a year later and talking about having his dad as a coach and how it wasn't going to fit for their system. Meanwhile, his dad's doing fantastic in New York and his son is fucking blossoming, and looking like a potential all-star for the next 2-3 years. They're going to be all right. Huge fumble by the Mavs, considering, of course, they went and picked up Kyrie. Lord knows how that ends. I don't think it's going to end well. No. I don't think anybody thinks it's going to end well, including the fucking Mavs.
Luka already hates it, I guarantee you.
I love this series. I'm excited about this series. When we talked about it a week ago, we talked about young teams playing young teams. This is, if you're a real hoops fan, what you want to sit back and watch. Young teams playing young teams. And this was fucking fantastic. Give me up. By the way, I went Cavs. I think this was the one I went Cavs in 7. This was one of the hardest ones for me. Cause I think this Knicks team is sneaky fucking good. And when we get that Julius Randle game where he fucks around and scores 40 and hits 6 threes, which it'll happen. everyone's going to be salivating over this fucking New York Knicks team. Stephen A is going to be fucking losing his shit. Jess, give me some thoughts on this.
I'm going to go Cavs in 6. I think that they just have a little bit more firepower. Darius Garland, some of those guys are out there. They're still going to play well. Donovan Mitchell is going to be – he's going to Donovan Mitchell as long as he's healthy. The only thing that could stretch this series or flip this series is if Mitchell gets injured somehow. Otherwise, I like the Knicks. I like the core that they have. I like the team that they've built. If you're a Knicks fan, it's a good time to be a Knicks fan because this team is going to only get better. But I got the Cavs in 6.
Knicks are going to fuck around and get a star. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm the Knicks, I'm all the way fucking in on Damon Stoudemire. I was going to say Damon Stoudemire. What the hell is wrong with me right now? I really am fucking on one. On Dame time. I go all the way in. I trade every asset. I say, you make the phone call, you say, here's a list of half of our team and half of our assets that we're willing to fucking trade. What's it going to take to get him here? You stick him next to Brunson. I know it's a small backcourt. Who gives a shit? That's how the NBA rolls.
But they would be like two little bulldog point guards. Like, that's how they both play. They're just bulldogs, and, man. It would be
and
great.
Dame did okay with CJ. I mean, yeah. I know they didn't get too far because they were always playing the Dubs in the West. But, I mean,
if they're out east, though, it's a different story.
Different story. That's why you move around. Yeah. I don't know. Dame's got to fucking take that call. All right, Jess, give me the next series. We got two more in the East.
Yeah, next series, we have Heat Bucks.
This is getting weird because we don't know where Giannis is at, and we definitely know Harrow is toast. So yeah. I would normally say, hey, the Heat went full Heat culture, and Jimmy Buckets went Jimmy Buckets. That game one is kind of a weird anomaly, and I still like the Bucks in, like, five. But with Giannis now a big question mark, I don't know. I don't want to waver off my pick because I really think when the Bucks are planning all cylinders, they can steamroll any fucking team. But you got to have a healthy Giannis. I'm staying with my pick here. I'm staying Bucks in five. They're going to get a gentleman's sweep. They're just going to win the next four. But I'm assuming Giannis is playing any healthy.
Even if Giannis is playing at like 80%, I still think that they win in six, right? Six games, mm-hmm. five games, or yeah, 5-1 or
they're up
4-1. So they win in five. Excuse me. I think that Giannis is obviously the deal breaker. I mean, if he just didn't play, I'm not saying the Bucks don't still win this series. It just probably goes seven games because now they're very equal, you know, in talent. But with Giannis, he just puts everything over the top. So even, like I said, even if he plays 75-80% and, you know, he's coming off the court here and there and getting relieved and some time to breathe and whatever, like, I still like the Bucks in five. So, and don't get me wrong. Like, I love the Heat culture. I'll be honest. I'm not like the biggest basketball guy. I'm not like Jason over here. I like basketball. It's all right. But I've been a fan of the, you know, quote unquote Heat culture for a long time. Like, what they built there in Miami is really incredible to think that, like, they've done this for such an extended period of time of winning games, going to playoffs, going to championships, you know, and they've done it with, like,
beating teams they shouldn't beat.
Beating teams that they have no reason beating. No, I mean, it's insane. And they've done it with the same head coach, and they've done it with, you know, basically the same front office. And it's just like the continuity that they have there is great. And everybody loves going to Miami. Who doesn't love Miami, right? Except for you're a Miami Dolphin and then I hate you.
I think their offseason is going to be interesting because, again, I'm going to say Dame again, not Damon Stoudemire. It's going to be interesting because there's going to be such a power play on players trying to get – or teams trying to get that one guy that pushes them over the top. It's going to be very interesting.
And it's going to come down to who has the most – assets, like you said.
But with Miami too, it's like not only can you give up Bam, but like from Dame's perspective, you move to a tax-free state. It's like when you're going to Texas, like you're getting all of your money. Dude.
That's another reason why you don't go to New York.
And you make a lot of fucking money, Dame. Like, so you're like really, you're making a whole bag of bags. Woo. All right, what's the last series?
Sixers Nets, which has been a huge surprise to me.
Not to me.
No, I
love the Sixers. When we did our Power Three, I threw the Sixers in there. Embiid is playing like an absolute fucking freak. He's a Lajuan, and nobody wants to fucking acknowledge it because he's got swag. He's a shit talker, and he'll go on Twitter and he'll fucking tweet memes. But the guy's got a Lajuan's game. He really does. And he blocked a shot the other night, and it was a close game, either late in the third or early in the fourth, where he fully volleyball swatted this fucking guy and the ball bounced back on the court and went high. It was like, it was one of the more, it was a fucking Shaquille O'Neal, Akeem Olajuwon level swat where I was like, God damn, he ain't fucking around. Hey, I think I had this as a gentleman's sweep as well. And I don't want to come off of that. I think Brooklyn will have that one cute game at home where you get the combination, Harden plays like shit, the rest, Maxey doesn't show up, and Embiid just can't carry the fucking whole load. And then you get that contribution from Bridges here. You get the Dinwiddie game. He's been absolutely terrible. You get the big, has a decent game. I'm still going gentleman's sweep here, but does Philly look good?
Philly looks really good. Brooklyn has been a mess for a long time, and that even goes back to when they gave up everything for Durant and Harden, just that and Kyrie, and it's been just terrible. You want to talk about culture change? It go from Miami, which we were talking about Miami, right? Everybody loves Miami. Everybody wants to go play for Miami. I don't know who the fuck wants to go play for Jersey.
Nobody.
I mean, let's just be real, man.
The shift that New Yorkers were waiting for 4 years ago, when they thought they were going to get KD and they thought they were going to get Kyrie Irving and they all went to Brooklyn, has now changed. And everyone for the next two off seasons is going to want to play for New York.
Yep. It's going to be bad in Brooklyn. I'm telling you right now, this could be the last playoff run that they have for a while. It could be. I got the Sixers. I think Sixers sweep. I expected it to be closer somehow, but Embiid, I love the comparison between Embiid and Olajuwon. I think that's fucking phenomenal.
People don't want to say it because people don't want to it's like you're disrespecting Olajuwon's name. Now you compare him because Olajuwon was fucking great. And when he was on his best, he was literally the best player in the league. And that's what I'm seeing out of Joel Embiid.
Who won championships in Jordan's absence? Olajuwon did.
Exactly. Let's go to the West. I listen, you want to talk about Hornet. It's almost every series in the West. I love all of these series, even with my Dubs being down. You want to start Dubs Kings? Let's start there.
Let's go ahead and start Dubs.
Dubs Kings.
Kings Warriors. Kings are up two games, which when we talked about our power three in each conference, we both put the Dubs in our top three, and now I'm feeling kind of iffy about my pick, man.
I was in the car this morning driving home from the gym, and I heard NBA radio on Sirius talking about, well, imagine if Sacramento advances, they'll easily beat the Lakers, and then what could they do against the Clippers? What could they do against the Suns? I'm like, God damn, y'all are already putting dirt. Y'all are shoveling the dirt on the Warriors. Well, we've seen them down games previously. Like we've seen that 2-0 first round. I know this is something new, but we've done this before, Jess. They go home. They have two great knockout games at home, and all of a sudden it's 2 out of 3 with one of those games at home. They have not put together a perfect half at all. It's either a lot of turnovers or a lot of missed shots or dumb shots or both. It feels like Steph can draw a triple team when he goes to the basket at any time. Can a guy get open at the basket and get an easy point? Or does Steph have to fucking kick it out and Wiggins shoot a three? Not saying I want him shooting a three, just saying he's not going to be as high percentage as maybe a Clay. Clay had a better game second game, but again, just they have these enormous holes of defensive, just defense, where Sacramento was beating that first wave of defense, if you will, and getting right to the basket. And this is when it looks like this is a much younger team playing a much older team. When Golden State really isn't that old, it's just when they play their core five, three of them are fucking old. Dre's old. Clay's old. Steph is old and has always been a defensive liability. When you get a good defensive game out of Steph, it's like, holy shit. But I'm not putting dirt on him yet. My pick of the Warriors in six now feels like I would have to go Warriors in seven just by default now, right? Maybe they put a perfect half together, or maybe Sacramento really is that good. And just like the entire national media, maybe we just all slept on that team. Maybe Mike Brown, and now there is Sacramento culture. Shout out my boy, my Sacramento insider, who was like, you know, there's the culture here. They made trades to get guys out that they didn't like, that didn't fit the culture, and everybody here buys in. Everybody here drinks the Mike Brown Kool-Aid. Everyone here is all the way in. And I hear a lot of, this looks like the younger Warriors. This looks like the younger Warriors. This looks like the Warriors when they won that first championship. No, they don't, because they didn't have a Sabonis just handing the ball off the entire time. The way that that team plays off of Sabonis is so unique and so different, and something that nobody else in the league does. Those handoff passes that Sabonis does are just completely different, completely unique, and it's what makes them as good as they are. Don't want to waver, and again, this is take it with a grain of a spoon of sugar, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, me being a lifetime Warriors fan, but I'm still going Warriors 7, Jess. Give me some thoughts on this.
Domitus learned that from his daddy. He's not your Vetus. He's not my Vetus. He's our Vetus.
He is.
Sabonis. He is. The little handoff the pass. That was the like legend. That was like a bread and butter pick and roll play for the Blazers back in the day. Sabonis looks good. He's a lot dirtier than his dad, though. I'm telling you right now, that little motherfucker.
Nah, they're both equally dirty. Sabonis. Yeah, don't get it. Sabonis was dirty. Like I'm saying it like the guy was. I mean, he wasn't Charles Oakley or fuck. You know what I mean? Bad boy.
He threw that hip in there, though.
That hip and those big long sharp elbows.
Yes, yeah, those big old arms. Baby boy had picked up some tricks, both good and bad, from dad, and he uses them to his best advantage. Yeah, which has made him a star now. Like, he's a star. I think that Sabonis is a legitimate star. His numbers have been good since he came into the NBA. He's been very solid. He's definitely above average as far as, you know, when you're talking about big men in the league. And I know that he's not your prototypical big man, but, you know, he's in that category. I like the Kings. I like their drafts. Over the last couple, 3 years, they've been really solid at picking guys who can come in and shoot right away. Keegan Murray, I believe. He smashed the all-rookie, you know, NBA three-point record this year. Kid just came in, and he's just, like, lighting it up from three-point land. They have guys that can play defense. They got guys that can score. Malik Monk being picked up, I think, is a huge deal. I think he came to them last year in a deal with the Lakers, I believe. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox is, you know, finally getting some recognition as a, you know, a top-rated point guard, which I believe that he deserves. Mm-hmm. But this is what it comes down to for me. The guys that are coming in and playing for the Dubs, they have got to come in and play their role. And that's what's not happening. Guys are coming in. They're taking bad shots. Jordan Poole looks like a pool of crap right now. Like, yeah. Not playing good. Not really playing good. But he will. That's the thing. Poole will get better. Poole is not a slouch. He can come in and score 30, like, in the blink of an eye. That's why everybody
loves him. If he's got a banged up ankle and you're out there on one bad wheel, trust me.
That too. But what's happening from what I've seen with the Warriors is Steph Curry, he is aging, okay? Let's not pretend it's not happening. He's older. He's been through some wars. His body's been tested. And now you're expecting him to keep playing at that level that he was playing at 5-6 years ago right now. And I'm not saying that he can't, but damn it, he needs some help out there. These guys got to come in. And your Kamingas and your Pools and all these, they got to come in. Your DiVincenzos, they got to come in and they got to play solid basketball for as long as they're on the court. But I do think the Warriors will end up winning this series. I think it'll go to 7. I think the Kings are very tough. I think that they're full of themselves right now. And when you're up 2-0 on like a franchise like Golden State, you're feeling pretty damn good, but that could also be the undoing. So I do believe in the Warriors. I believe in this coaching staff, Steve Kerr, and the players, man. The players are the key because those guys have been through this. It's like riding a bike for them. Playoffs ain't nothing. Let's get to the championship. So I got Warriors in 7.
Can I go controversial yet brave take?
Let's hear it.
Can we stop talking about John Morant and can we start talking about De'Aaron Fox? I mean, he's just as good. Just as good.
He's good.
No, he's just as good. He's just as good. People don't want to give the kid the credit that's due. He is just as good as John Morant. He may not be the flashy. He may not be the swagger. He may be more of a lunch pail kid. But look at the guy's numbers the last 2 years. Put him right next to John Morant. Now, maybe the winning isn't there per se. It is this year. But it's at some point, maybe the league is going to start looking at Ja Morant and going, you know, we don't know if we want you to be on the posters. You know who we think we want to have on the posters? De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. Why not? The guy has never made waves. And this is not to say that he doesn't have a temper, because Fox has said he's been in some shit with players on the court. Like, he's not afraid to stand his ground.
And Jesper, you got to understand now, it's always going to revert back to he plays in Sacramento. He plays in Sacramento.
That's where it's, that's 100%.
Remember 10 years ago, you'd never see a Golden State Warriors game on national television. And now they're on national television every week. And that is the climate. And again,
he plays on Christmas. Golden State.
The culture changed to where all of a sudden you go, hey, we're too good. You've got to put us on national TV. No, we're really fucking exciting. Our style of basketball gets people like Jason Valdez horned. And so we've got to put you on national television. Otherwise, we're missing out on golden opportunities to get these young fans that love Steph Curry, loving a De'Aaron Fox, and buying those goddamn jerseys and those shoes.
That's where it's at, man. Hey, if anything, I do like Sacramento, but you know what? Golden State.
We might be talking a lot more about them the next few weeks, Jess. All I'm saying.
No, we could next be. Year. So what do you want to hit? We got Suns, Clippers.
Oh, that's all I want to talk about.
We got Lakers, Grizzlies.
Okay.
The West is loaded. We can talk about all these.
What's the other series? What's the last
one? Let's go Timberwolves, Nuggets. How about that?
Yes. Let's get rid of this one.
Let's do it.
I'm going to get rid of this one real quick. I'm going to continue to urinate on Anthony Edwards because I don't know what's going on with him. He's just underperforming. And this is the Nuggets that everybody knows can show up in a playoff game. This is the Nuggets that we've been talking about for, I don't know, 3 years on this show, Jess. Healthy MPJ. He's a beast. Healthy Jamal Murray. He's a beast. Healthy Jokic. He's a beast. This is a really, really good team when they stay healthy. They are going to fucking sweep. I'm gonna go sweep. I haven't changed any of my picks here. And I don't think I had Denver. I think I had Denver in 5 or 6, or I can't remember how to. I'm switching it. I'm going Denver in 4. Minnesota, thanks for showing up. Thanks for playing. Thanks for, you know, showing you can overcome whatever bullshit you had on the sidelines, game 82. But 3-2-1 Cancun. It's time.
I'm not going to go 3-2-1 Cancun. I'm going to go 6. I think that Minnesota. Wow. I think Minnesota is going to pull their shit together for at least one game. Anthony Edwards can't be that bad for two more games. I mean, I would hope not. The guy played like he was an animal in the regular season.
I love him.
And let's be real. Like, I get it. He's young and playoffs are different. Like, I mean, they are. The playoffs are different from the regular season. Like, you've got much fewer games to win to move on in regular season. You got 82.
He's shooting, so it's not like he's just a shell of himself. He's not going Ben Simmons. He's just nothing's going in. Nothing's fuck going in. I don't know if it's an in-between his ears thing. I don't know if it's just, damn, I'm not used to playing 82 games this hard and now pushing at a harder level. Like, damn, y'all are playing harder now? Like, I don't know if it's just something. It's one of those things. I do not want to spend a ton of time on this.
This is the reason why Jordan hit the weight room. Wait. He didn't want to get pushed around.
1,000,000%.
Anthony Edwards is going to have to go hit that weight room if you don't want to get pushed around. Again, Nuggets. I got Nuggets in 6. You got a sweep. So we're moving with Denver. Next game, let's just hit Lakers-Grizzlies while we're here. Let's hit Lakers-Grizzlies, which is going to be competitive. But no, Jay, go ahead, take it.
No, it's not going to be. It's going to be the exact same thing as the Bucks series. If Ja doesn't play, the Lakers are probably going to pound them. I'm going gentleman's sweep. If Ja plays, I don't know where he's going to be at. A hand injury is a different animal, and people are going to be fucking swiping at your hand the entire playoffs. People are going to be you're going to be using that hand all the fucking time, picking yourself up off the ground. You're an explosive player. You need your hands in the playoffs. If you're one-handed, it ain't going to work. They're in a world of trouble. They've lost their best player. I know they're a bit – and they're injured. They're injured. This is the Lakers have just gotten lucky these last 2 weeks. I hate to say it like that, but they've had this unique spot of luck where Minnesota urinated all over themselves in that play-in game. And now game one, they get an injured jaw, and now they're – They got Hachimura, who I absolutely love, balling. They got Reeves, who we talked about last week. Kid from, came from fucking Alice Caruso 2.0, coming out of nowhere. And when you've got AD playing well and LeBron playing well, that team's tough to beat, man. I like the – I'm switching my pick only due to the injury and only this is me drinking the Kool-Aid, reading the tea leaves, and going, Jaw's not playing for the rest of the series. Lakers in six.
That's crazy. I feel like that's a hot take. I feel like that's a hot take. Somebody hit the button. Huge. I'm going Memphis. Memphis is simply even without Ja, Memphis is talented. They will get their defense rolling again. I think they were one of the top rated defensive teams in the league this year. Jaren Jackson Jr., Triple J is going to go out there and be blocking shots. LeBron is not going to play like this for three more games. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, I love LeBron and what he stands for the NBA and what he's done in his career, but he is like, what, almost 40 years old. Like, the guy's not going to, he's not standing on those legs the same. He's those drives in that playoff game or the play-in game, excuse me. He was driving like he was 25 and he ain't. So now that's going to catch up to him too. Those legs are going to get a little bit rubbery. And let's be real, Anthony Davis is not going to stay healthy. He's going to get banged up somewhere. It's going to happen. It happens to him every single year, every single playoff, every single regular season. He's going to get some weird knee tweak or an ankle something. And then he's going to sit for a game or two. So my guess is this. Memphis will be able to gather the troops and at least try to manage to squeak out a win. I think it'll be a seven-game series. I think it's going to be competitive, like I said at the beginning. But Memphis ends up winning. They got home court advantage. They win the series 4-3.
All right. Last series, I believe, correct? Oh, no. Yeah, this is it. Suns, Clips?
Suns, Clippers.
I mean, it's been said ad nauseum, right? But I really want to reiterate. That Russell Westbrook game was one of the most inspiring basketball games that I have watched in I can't tell you how long. He was so bad offensively. I mean, he was horrendous offensively, but such a pest on defense. I mean, the poking at the ball, the irritable in Durant, in CP3, in Booker. He just straight up defensively pulled his dick out and went, I have no problem playing the best guy. I want the guy with the ball every single possession here in the fourth quarter. That last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, I believe it was, he had this incredible stretch where it's like defensive stop, gets to the line, hits both free throws, even though he's been a terrible free throw shooter this year. Another, the biggest defensive stop of the game when he blocks Booker. And while Booker looks to the referee to complain that he was fouled, the millisecond he does that gives Westbrook the time to knock the ball off of Booker's leg. It's just this fucking crafty veteran move that Booker just was not ready for because he wanted to cry and complain to the ref. And again, huge shout out and credit to Russell Westbrook, one of the worst offensive performances cooked in with one of the best defensive second halves that I could remember. Everybody wants to talk about the Jimmy Butler defense before he was Jimmy Buckets. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like Ron Artest. Like, he was just fucking all over the place. And if Westbrook decided, I'm going to use all of my energy because I can't use it getting to the basket because I stink, on just being Westbrook and just being an absolute Bev Williams level pest on defense, then I'm going to do it. That shit worked. That shit worked. And Kawhi was Kawhi. There's moments in that second half where you go, me personally, I go, Kawhi looks like the best player on the planet again. He's getting stops. He's using that claw, that big hand, and just knocking balls out and just making plays, getting rebounds. And then he can get his shot wherever he wants. He's just so good. And that team's deep. You know, we've heard it all year. They're deep. And then they lose PG-13, which I know is a deal. But they're still deep, Jess. And I don't have the balls to pick the Clips over the Suns. But this is going six. I like the Suns in six. Jess, give me some thoughts.
I like the Suns in six. Just because out of when we did our big threes for each conference, I had Phoenix in mind. But they're the least trusted of the other
you
two.
Put them at three.
Like I don't trust them in like a big series. We've seen it when they went to the finals, you know, and they blew that series, which I believe that was Milwaukee, I believe, was when Milwaukee won another championship, right? So back. And I'm not saying that Milwaukee shouldn't have won that series, but with Phoenix being so deep and talented, even that year, I felt like it should have been more competitive. And Phoenix just felt like they kind of shit the bed. And now what we're seeing is a potential, like, you know, like they're going to shit a couple games away. And that's just kind of like Phoenix's style for some reason. I don't know if it's, you know, I hate to say that Monty can't keep control of his team. They're young, you know, a lot of these, you know, Kardashians running all over the back area and stuff. Like, I don't know what's happening, but like, it's hard. It just seems hard to keep them focused on basketball. When they are focused, they play very, very good basketball because they are very good players in a very good team coached by a very good head coach. The Clippers, you said, are deep. I believe that, even without PG-13. But losing a guy like PG-13 is devastating come playoff time. That's the biggest reason why I can't pick the Clips. You just don't have the firepower. Kawhi is not going to be on the court long enough to win those very important games. He'll be on the court to put in his numbers. He'll get his points, his rebounds, a few assists. He'll play some defense. But there's going to come times in a game even where, you know, he's going to sit for a while. And then that's when Phoenix is going to run away with it. So I got Phoenix in six.
Jeff, this is where I revert back to my take from a week ago. And my go-to take when you merge these super teams overnight and they don't practice and they don't play together. It's difficult for – they're playing in a weird basketball, spurts of basketball where you go, damn, their fluidity is there, and they're a monster. And KD just scored 10 points in 2 minutes in four possessions, and they're unstoppable. And there's moments where you go, they're out of sync. They're just completely out of sync. The guys aren't where they need to be, and it's because they don't fucking – there's no chemistry. That time to build chemistry isn't there. And I'll revert back to what I always say. 2 minutes left in the game. KD's going to want the ball in specific spots on the floor. Does Booker know that? Does CP3 know that? And vice versa for Booker. Booker's going to want the ball in certain spots on the floor. Does KD know that? Does KD give a shit? Because that last 2 minutes, he might fuck around and go, yeah, and then go, no, that ball's going to my hand, and I'm going to ISO because I'm the best player in the world. I can shoot over everyone. I can get my shot wherever I want. Who knows? Who fucking knows? We don't know if they've had that kumbaya moment yet in the season where you go, you know what? There's fucking two alpha males here. We're both whipping our dicks out, and you know what? Mine's a little bigger than yours, so I'm going to go in first, and you can fucking follow after me. I think that KD and Booker got to have that moment. You're not going to have that moment 20, 25 games into a trade where no one plays together at all. I think they said they played together like two games or some shit, or like 50 combined minutes. It was so fucking minuscule that, again, I'm going to go with Phoenix right now because their talent should be able to give the Clippers fits in enough games. But I don't know, man. There is moments. If the Clippers won, it would not surprise me, because it is a true, you can say, chemistry team that added Westbrook, and it was addition, not addition by subtraction, but a true addition because he's playing well, as opposed to the Suns, who were just kind of slapped together here the last 2 years with Ayton thinking he was going to be traded for Lord knows how long. And Bridges is gone, and fucking KD is here. There's just too many moving parts and pieces for me to think you're going to go deep into in a playoff run.
Which doesn't bode well for KD, because I think the KD's just, he's looking for that last finals run. And I do have to agree with you. I mean, we've talked about this pretty extensively on the show. Like, a continuity in the locker room breeds greatness. When you have the same players, or at least the core players, they've been there for 3, 5, 6 years. You keep that. You don't have to learn nothing new. Everybody knows where they're going, where they're supposed to be, how long they're going to be on the court, how long they're going to, you know, who they're going to come off the bench for. Like, they can almost run the team without a head coach.
You know, you know their, and I don't mean to interrupt you,
no, go
you
ahead.
Know not only where they want to have the ball at and where they're best, but where they're worst.
Yeah.
And you may not tell that guy, I know he's shit right now, so I'm not passing him the ball. Or I know I can just look in his eyes because I played with this guy for 2 or 3 years and he's checked out. Or I can, or I know what to say to this fucking guy to get his juices flowing and to get him back in this fucking game where I need him because we're down 3 buckets and there's 5 minutes left in this game and we need help. You know, the coach has to have those moments and you can't have those when you slap a team together like this. I'm telling you, there's too many moving parts.
Especially that late in the season.
I say executive decision, save the football for next taping, because I don't believe I will be with us next week because I got to go to Orlando. But my call, what do you think?
No, we don't need to. I mean, football, we got a long ass off season. Talking about some dude's contract is not going to make me happy it's not going to impress me at all. So,
especially me because I hate the Eagles. But shout out to Mo Hamlin, who you just told me was considering.
Yes, you know what? I will say that.
That's
I will give this.
That's my one take.
DeMar Hamlin has been cleared for football contact. He says he's hoping to keep working his way back onto a field. He wants to play football this season for the Buffalo Bills. He is still contracted with Buffalo. I think he would do wonders for that locker room to see him suited up and on the field. And we, you know, from myself and I'm sure Jason as well, I wish him the very best in his continued career. He's a young kid. He's only like 24, 25. He's got so many years left to play football. And hopefully all his medical stuff is taken care of and he can continue doing what he loves to do, which is play football.
There it is. I don't know if I want to see him play football again because what we saw was so scary and the reverb of it afterwards, it was just it was a bit much. Like people were on television crying. It was a lot. So I don't know. I just don't know. Great story. And I'd kind of like for it to go out. Maybe he does show up, he does suit up, and then he doesn't play, but he becomes a practice squad player. And then I don't know. That's just me. I don't know, but who knows?
Well,
that's all I got. That's
we will pick up more NBA playoffs next week, or actually, I guess it'd be the week
next
after.
Taping.
We will put up more football stuff, possibly, depending on what's going on. I do not give two shits about Jalen Hurts' new contract. I will say congrats to the kid. He got paid. He got the bag. He got like 10 bags. Folks, thank you for listening. If you like NFL talk, hang with us because we will eventually get back to it. But right now, it's combat sports and it's NBA. That's where we're at. Okay, so that's our thing. So hang tight with us. We'll eventually get back to the NFL stuff. Thanks for listening, Spotify listeners. God bless you. Apple listeners, God bless you. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Twitter people out there, thank you. You can follow us on Twitter. Jason at Valdez spelled backwards 559. You can follow me at JTT81. Follow the pod at Team Toss 21. And as mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, Variety Sports Network, who is our supporting network team, you can follow them at Variety_Sports_. That's it for us, folks. Have a great week.
Peace out.